Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4. I appreciate being appreciated, and I appreciate you for all you've done. I'm not as young as I was when I came. To me, I look the same, but I know I don't. I still think I'm 18 inside, but my mighty denies that I'm not, but it's been a good time here. We've lost a lot of people over the years, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord who've gone on to heaven. I often think about them. I think about people that you folks don't know who've been here over the past years, those who were here when I came and been always gracious and always good to me and always enjoyed the word. But I'm thankful the Lord keeps his church on and we're going to be able to see one another in heaven one day forever and ever, and that's what's good. I want you to look in your Bibles this morning in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward was 100. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Today I want to talk about an ordinary habit that produces amazing results. An ordinary habit. This might be an ordinary sermon, I don't know. But I'm going to talk about an ordinary habit, and that is the time you need to spend in God's Word. It sounds ordinary. It sounds simple. And we think because God is supernatural and great and he does many and wonderful things that we can neglect just an ordinary habit. And so I want us to look at this passage of Scripture in verse 3 that says, And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He quotes the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he tells Israel that this is why he fed them with manna. They didn't have food, they didn't have what they needed, and so God fed them with manna each day. But he was feeding them with that to teach them a lesson. That one, God was the source of all in life. God uses means, but ultimately our life, our promise of heaven, the blessings we receive, everything comes from God who is our source. And that's why Jesus could say no to Satan, because he wasn't going to use some human means that God had not designed. He was simply going to say, listen, number one, God is my source. He's the one who provides all that we need. And then Jesus said an interesting thing in verse 4. It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is what he basically said. He said, Man does not live by bread alone. Now, he doesn't mean just bread. He means all of the physical provisions that he provides and primarily the food. He said, we don't live just by that alone. That's not the only thing that sustains us and gives us life. But we live by what? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Reading God's word and studying God's word is just like eating. It's a habit that needs to be done. And if it is not done, you will not be spiritually healthy. For example, today, we're going to have a meal after the service. And we're going to enjoy food and fellowship. I will tell you this, we have the best cooks in the country. You know, it is so good, you're going to see desserts like you've never seen before. And some of you are going to enjoy those desserts and all the vegetables and everything that's cooked. It's just going to be a great time of enjoying wonderful food and fellowship. It's going to be a good meal. But you know, when it's all over with, when you get up in the morning, you still got to eat. You can't just live off today's meal and not eat tomorrow and the next day and the next day and say, boy, I tell you, that meal was so good Sunday, I don't have to eat anymore. No. Just like eating sustains you physically, so eating the God's Word sustains you spiritually. And though you may have a wonderful meal and a wonderful time in God's Word or a wonderful time in God's church, you still have to get up and eat and enjoy God's Word each and every day. And you know, when I get up in the morning and I get ready to eat, my meal on Monday morning is not going to be good as the one today. I hate to say it, but unless I save some over and eat for breakfast now. But you know, I'm probably going to get up and eat some boring cereal, or I'm going to probably get up and eat some boring waffle, or maybe scrambled eggs and stuff. It's not going to be as good as that meal today, but you know what? I still have to do it. Just because sometimes you read your Bible and it's not as exciting as it was the day before, or it wasn't as exciting as that experience, doesn't mean you don't need to still eat. God's Word sometimes speaks in different ways. It doesn't always speak in a grand meal. Sometimes it just provides the sustenance that you need. What I eat tomorrow morning, it will provide that which I will never see. It will keep my body healthy. It will keep me healthy and pure and everything strengthened. If I neglect to eat, I'm going to get weak and my body's going to get weak. It is not the content of the meal. It's the fact you need to keep eating God's Word. That's why I call it the ordinary habit. Just as you eat, we don't live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did you know that everything you eat is not tasty? Now, everything we eat today is going to be tasty, but not everything I eat is tasty. Sometimes I may have to eat broccoli. I heard somebody, broccoli. You know, broccoli isn't as tasteful as banana pudding. Now, it is if you put cheese on it. And then there's some other things that I will avoid, and that's liver. I'm not going to eat liver. But you know, there's some things that are not as good. I'm telling you what, I remember when my mother was in the nursing home, they'd come by and they'd bring her these vegetables. And that's what happens as you get older in life, and her taste buds were changing. And they'd bring her these vegetables, and she'd look at it. You could see the frown on her face, like, ugh. And they'd try to feed her a little bit, and she'd eat a little bit of it. And then all of a sudden, they'd bring a pie. And her face lit up, and she started eating that. I said, Mama, I thought you weren't hungry. Oh, boy, she was eating that. That was good. But you know what? She needed the vegetables, too. You can't say, well, you know, preacher, I didn't get nothing out of the Word today. You know, that Leviticus, you ever read Leviticus? Whew. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Wow, that's boring and drying. But you know what? You need to read it. You need to read God's Word, because it isn't always just one big exciting meal. It provides what you need. And you see, I've been reading the Word now for 25, 30, 40 years, and sometimes it spoke greatly. Sometimes it just nourished me. But the feeding of God's Word into your heart and your life is what will make you spiritually healthy and whole. That's why Jesus says we don't just live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He didn't just say some words, but every word. Leviticus is just as helpful as Romans and Psalms. All of those words need to be read and studied and lifted into your life so that God's Word will begin to teach you and instruct you and show you the things of God. You need to read God's Word. He says in verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Have you noticed that when you get sick, you're not very hungry? You know, if I get a flu bug, I'm not very hungry, and I don't want to eat when I get a flu bug. You ever notice when you get sick, you just don't want to eat? Well, let me tell you something. You know what brings sickness in your life? sin. Sin. The Bible says that we're to lay aside certain sins and then to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. And if you don't allow the Word to be a part of your daily life, sin will get in there and sickness, and you won't be quite as hungry. I want you to notice again. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. What gives me health? Eating. Eating. If you don't eat, you're not healthy. And what gives me spiritual health? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. This Bible needs to be read. It needs to be feasted on. It needs to be a part of life. And the sad thing is, I don't know if all of you are reading it. I got a sneaking feeling that some of us at times in life don't pick up our Bibles. Well, preacher, we're so busy. We're so busy. Well, let me tell you what. If you hadn't eaten in a week, you're going to be weak. You're going to be tired. You're going to be without strength. You're not going to feel good. And if you don't drink, eat from your Bible, you're going to be spiritually unhealthy. You're not going to be vibrant. You're going to be alive. You're not going to have the Spirit of God working in your life as He intends. God intends that we live off every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what? I believe in the miraculous, but also believe in the ordinary. God sustains me sometimes with miracles, and sometimes God sustains me by just eating the right food that I need to eat. God works in amazing ways sometimes on Monday, but on Thursday He may just want you to eat a good meal. You know what's interesting? I was reading in Kings of Elijah, and Elijah stood before all the prophets of Baal, and he called down the fire of God, and he just did tremendous things for God. And then he heard Jezebel wanted to kill him, and he ran. He ran in fear, and he was just so depressed and said, oh, God, I wish you'd just take my life. And he ran into the wilderness. An angel came, and you know what's interesting what the angel said? You need to eat. What? Yeah, you need to eat. Made a meal, you need to eat. Because you're going to be going on a 40-day journey here, and you need strength to go through it. Later on, God spoke to him. Listen, folks. I know you may not think it's important, and it may not show up today, but you can tell if people have been reading the Bible, because it's just like if they hadn't been eating right, they don't look right. And the same with the Bible. The Bible is to be your sustenance, and you're to feed on it every day. You know, sometimes I read the Bible, and there's sort of a dry spot in there. It doesn't speak as loud as it can. It's just sort of dry. Maybe you're like that sometimes. Sometimes I read the Bible and it doesn't go, whoa! Other times it does, but I keep reading it. Usually I know when it gets dry like that is because I know God is pulling the plug and He's going to give me insight that I hadn't seen before. And He's going to make sure that I know it wasn't me that saw it. It was Him that showed it to me. Reading God's Word. Why? Because man should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want to remind you again that God knows everything you need in life. You know why? Because God made you. I don't know why people want to ask the world, what do we need? They weren't there when God made the world. They weren't there when God made you. So I think the one who knows the most about what you need is the one who made you. All those people out in the world who are so smart and know everything, they weren't around when you were born. They weren't the one that brought life into you when you were born. It was God. He's the one that knows what you need, and He communicated His ways and His word and His purpose and His life and His ministry into you through His word, because He knows the product. He knows what you need. He's the one that made you. And that's why we live off every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because God knows what I need. The world doesn't. They think we evolved from amoebas or something. Well, I got news for them. I didn't. I was created and born into this world, and God knows what I need. I've told the story of a man broke down with his old car one day, and he didn't know how to get it cranked up. And so he came by, and a man stopped and helped him. He was in a big fancy car and stopped and helped him and said, "Yeah, I know what's wrong," and he fixed it for him. He said, "My goodness, how did you know that? I would have never thought that." He said, "Well, my name's Henry Ford. I made this car. I know what makes it run." Well, God made you. He knows what makes you run. And I'd rather go by what God said than what anybody else says in all the world, because God knows what I need. God made the perfect way to live. Let me ask you a question. Someone recently wrote, and people always talk about the far right people. I never have quite figured out what they mean by that. Particularly if they're talking about, far right Christians. Never have figured that out. What's so strange about wanting to be a person filled with the Holy Spirit? You know the person filled with the Holy Spirit acts like? They're loving. They're kind. They're patient. They're gracious. They don't hold hard feelings. They depend on God. They believe the truth. What's so bad about that? What would be so bad about a host of people living in a town who were loving and kind and patient and gracious and good to one another? And who didn't hold grudges with one another? And if someone did wrong, they would say it and they'd say, "I'm sorry." They'd be forgiven. What is wrong with that kind of life? What's wrong with a home where there's health and happiness and people get along and it's just generally good and people love one another and people care for one another? What's wrong with a life like that? I'll tell you, that's the life God intended. That's the life God gives. A life in which there is fruitfulness and love and patience and gentleness. The other kind of life that sometimes we Christians live is the life called sin. That Jesus Christ came to conquer. That God's word came to deliver us from. God knows what we need. So God provides it. God gives it. I've been reading the Bible. You say, "I don't get nothing out of the Bible." Well, I don't know what Bible you're reading. I've been reading my Bible. I will never forget. I went and bought a Ryrie Study Bible when I was in college. And I remember that was going to be $20, and for me that was a lot of money back then. And I went back and forth in that store about five times over about a week. I don't know if I can afford this, but I finally bought it. First time I opened it up, wow, the footnotes were great. The outlines were good. Boy, I've been reading that now for a good 25, 30 years. I'm so familiar with the scriptures and the teachings. I don't know everything in it, but I'm sort of familiar with a lot of it in it. And you know what? It just ministers. And sometimes it does a work in me like my food does. I don't feel it. I don't get a, "Oh!" But you know what? If you just keep eating, you'll be healthy. You'll be okay. If you quit eating, you won't. And there's got a lot of Christians who don't just keep eating every day. We need to enjoy the meal today. Oh, it's going to be great. But you know what? Even if you have to eat oatmeal tomorrow, some of you are probably going to eat oatmeal tonight. That's okay. It won't be as exciting and thrilling, but you still got to eat it. He said, "Preacher, I'm so busy. I don't have time to read the Bible." Well, you know that's that way in life. Sometimes you get so busy, you don't have time to eat. You get busy, you get busy in something, and you forget lunch. And you can't eat till 2, or you can't eat till 1. I remember when Hannah was working there at the county, she'd say, "My goodness, Dad, I didn't get to my lunch till 1 or 2 or whatever." But guess what? She still did eat. Even though you get busy and say, "Well, I didn't have time to read my Bible this morning," you ought to still eat somewhere along the way. You ought to get a tape. You ought to do something, folks. I'm telling you, I'm trying to get across to you that you can get by not reading your Bible, but you won't be healthy and whole and peaceful and content and happy. Because God's word is like food. We live off every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There have been a couple times, I shouldn't tell you this, there have been a couple times, just for the fun of it, I'd get busy and I didn't read my Bible that day. And then I read it the next day. And boy, what a difference. It's just like the one day I didn't eat and the next day I did. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I can't convince, I can't know whether all you're doing it. We all can talk a good game and a good talk. But I like to know, are you folks regularly eating your Bibles on a daily basis? And sometimes you may have to eat Leviticus. There's a lot of good stuff in Leviticus. It's a little bogged down. Sometimes you may have to read in the Old Testament. You just skip over those genealogies. You can come back to them later. But you just keep reading and keep reading. Just like, you know what? I keep eating. I'm going to have a good meal today and my stomach's going to be puffing out. But you know what? Come tonight, I'm going to still eat again. And come tomorrow, I'm going to still eat. Come lunch, I'm going to still eat. That's the same way with the Bible. You need to keep reading it and you keep to need feeding on it. Because if you don't, you know why people are so worried and bothered and upset and turmoil? Oftentimes, it's because they haven't been eating and just feasting on God's word.